From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Last week, seven attorneys general from different states, including Idaho's Raul Labrador, addressed a letter to the department store Target warning that products sold as part of its Pride Month campaign could violate state protection laws. The letter did not say in what ways the campaign overstepped these laws, but did propose that the corporation focus on a different kind of pride, one which focuses more on, quote, the love of the United States, unquote. Joining us today to talk more about this letter is professor and attorney McKay Cunningham, the director of on-campus experiential learning at the College of Idaho. McKay, it's nice to have you on the program again.
Hi, Gemma. Can you believe that the summer is almost halfway over now?
Oh my goodness. No, I can't. And I'm part of me is counting it down so the kids go back to school, and part of me is dreading it at the same time.
I know. We'll be doing back to school shopping before long, and some of us will go to Target to do that.
We will. So with that said, let's talk about that. Target is an incredibly popular store. So tell us this. First off, what states besides Idaho's AG signed on to this letter?
Yeah, there are seven states that signed on to this letter. Letters dated July 5th, sent to Target, and they are Indiana, Arkansas, Idaho, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, and South Carolina. And the letter just, in general terms, suggested that the attorneys general for all of those states were concerned by recent events involving Target's Pride campaign, as they called it, suggesting that Target's sale of merchandise, clothing, and the like that that is friendly to the LGBTQ community might violate child protection laws in each of those states, including obscenity laws.
Okay, so let's talk about this a little bit more. Target has been under fire ever since they have brought this campaign out. They've been under fire from some conservatives who are upset, saying that the store is selling clothes for kids and babies with these pride slogans, and they're selling what's being called tucking swimsuits for kids. So, McKay, with that said, are any of these products actually illegal?
No, none of these products are illegal. This letter that Labrador signed, it's not a legal document. It's a political document. I mean, no lawyer would consider this letter to have legal merit. The authorities, for example, that Labrador cites, you know, any lawyer, when they file a legal document, whether it's a motion or a brief or a memorandum or whatever, must rely on legal precedent. Now, the letter that Labrador signed has citations. It has footnotes. But they're almost all to Fox News or the Daily Caller, which is a media outlet funded by Tucker Carlson, the National Review, or the New York Post, which is a tabloid. So all of these are not legal authorities, and no lawyer would suggest the same. And look, I'm happy to reverse the situation and maintain the same premise. In other words, if an AG published an opinion letter and cited the Huffington Post or MSNBC as authorities, that letter would similarly be without legal merit.
So the letter indicates that the, quote, sale or distribution of obscene matter, unquote, is illegal. I have done a search of what folks have been upset about in regards to these pride slogans. So all I have been able to find are like t-shirts that have a rainbow on them, or I mean, basically rainbow colors, right? So do pride slogans qualify as obscene under the law?
No, of course not. Free speech, as you know, is a bedrock, fundamental right memorialized in the First Amendment of our Constitution. Yes, it's not absolute, but what it certainly protects is when the government attempts to limit speech based on its content. Here, there's a fairly strong argument that that if the AG attempted to pursue a legal remedy to force Target to take sweaters or sandals that had rainbows on them, that this would be a government attempt to censor speech based on its content. So an example would be, you know, if the Idaho legislature outlaws flyers and demonstrations in the park that support the LGBTQ community, that's content-based. If, however, the Idaho legislature outlaws flyers and demonstrations in the park after 10 p.m., that's time, place, and manner restriction and more likely to be upheld. All to say, on a traditional free speech constitutional analysis, a government's attempt to silence free speech because the government doesn't like or disfavors the content of that speech is almost always unlawful.
And my understanding as well, McKay, is that the letter also says that Target sold products with anti-Christian designs, and they say, you know, you sold things that included horned skulls and pentagrams. I would say this just goes back to exactly what you just said in regards to pride slogans. They could sell, this would also be free speech, correct?
Yes, of course. And that's, again, why I suggest that this is not a legal document or a legal letter by any stretch, but it's really a political one. And there's a reason why Labrador does not include legal consequences in this letter, because there are none. I mean, there is an exception, of course, to free speech under obscenity. And Labrador does mention that some of these, whether it's the satanic symbols or gay pride friendly clothing, he suggests that this is obscene. And what the letter fails to do is actually define obscenity. That's in Idaho Code 18-4101. And I'll read it out if that's okay, Jim.
Yes,
but
go ahead.
There are some words in here that some of your listeners may want to turn the radio down for a little bit first. Anyway, our code defines obscene material as material which the average person, applying contemporary community standards, would find, when considered as a whole, appeals to the prurient interest, and which describes or depicts patently offensive representations or descriptions of ultimate sexual acts, normal or perverted, actual or simulated, or masturbation, excretory functions, or lewd exhibition of the genitals or genital area. Rainbow sandals and a sweater in which a male is wearing female clothing does not meet this obscenity definition in the Idaho statute.
Right. And neither would something like someone wearing a t-shirt with a pentagram on it under that, under Idaho law.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned is that Target is only just now under a lot of scrutiny. But in fact, Target has had this gay pride campaign, to use their words. They've been doing this for 10 years. And so it's kind of interesting. Why now? Why the scrutiny at this point in time?
I do want to say to our audience that we did reach out to Attorney General Labrador's office, asking them if they would come on and talk with us as well. They did say that they had no additional comments on the letter at this time. So with that said, all we have to go on is the letter. And one of the other things I wanted to then discuss, McKay, in the letter, is that we should note that Target has donated money to GLSEN, which says it is a, quote, national network of educators and students that believe every student has the right to a safe, supportive, and LGBTQ-inclusive K-12 education. The Attorney General's letter says the Target support of GLSEN, and this is a quote from this letter, quote, raises concerns under our state's child protection and parental rights laws, unquote. Do we know why these seven attorneys general are concerned about where Target donates? Because I am having a hard time understanding how this would raise concern under our state's child protection and parental rights laws, when we live in a state where, when we were in the middle of a pandemic, you know, it was very clear that it was my child, my choice.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, Idaho Statute 16-1601 includes Idaho's child protection laws, and they're focused on preventing physical, emotional, sexual abuse of children, not exposure to the government's disfavored clothing. It's even more difficult to understand how Target has contravened any legal principle by donating from time to time to GLSEN. I don't know a whole lot about GLSEN other than mm-hmm. that it's principally an anti-bullying organization. I don't know that there's any legal mm-hmm. footing for those claims at all. I think it should be noted, Gemma, that this has happened before. Labrador has done this before when he sent a letter on official Attorney General letterhead to Representative Brent Crane, suggesting that the abortion statute means that doctors would be criminally liable if they referred their patients to abortion providers outside of the state. Labrador rescinded that letter when challenged, but you can't unring a bell. And so it makes me think that these letters are purely for a political reason rather than for any legal reason.
Mm. So here's something else in the letter that stood out to me as interesting. It also said in the letter that Target may have failed its shareholders, saying the company's Pride campaign caused it to lose money as much as $12 billion and that Target's board and management have failed in their fiduciary duties. First off, what's fascinating to me about this is that it's like if you don't like what Target is selling, you have the ability not to go there. You have the ability not to shop there. So if they lost $12 billion, that's because there were certain people that said, I'm not going to shop there anymore. That is 100% your right to do that. How in the world could this be a legal argument, McKay? Because you would think, well, you know what? Let them fall on their pride flag and lose all this money, right? Instead of sending this letter.
Yeah, but I think that what Labrador is getting is arguing is that these states are actually shareholders. They own a little bit of Target. And as a result, Target owes to them a fiduciary duty to make decisions that benefit the bottom line, that are profitable decisions. Even assuming that both of those premises are true, and I hope that this doesn't sound too cynical, but I have very little doubt that Target is primarily motivated by profit. It's not to besmirch that company, but for-profit companies that are publicly traded have a clear obligation to generate profit for mm-hmm. their shareholders. I mean, you see this with Bud Light, Garth Brooks, Nike, and others. These companies are not trying to change public opinion. They are reflecting public opinion. They're trying to capitalize to make money off of popular norms. I mean, the recent survey, I think it was Gallup, showed that 71% of Americans fully support LGBTQ groups and rights. So it's just a little ironic for Labrador to be suggesting that Target is skewing the bottom line and it's harming its shareholders by having a pride event or pride campaign mm-hmm. when, in fact, it's probably catering to the American public.
So at the end of all of this, does this letter actually say the Target has done something illegal? Does it threaten any legal action against Target? I mean, can these attorneys general do anything from a legal standpoint to Target? I mean, for whatever they want to sell in their store?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, if I'm the CEO or if I'm on the leadership team, this letter certainly worries me, despite the fact that there is very little, if any, true legal ground that you would have to worry about. It is true that Target has since put their pride displays from the front of the store to the back mm-hmm. of the store. They've actually taken out some of their items that they were selling as a part of Gay Pride Month. So it did have an effect. And then Target got in trouble from a bunch of states that are more progressive leaning, challenging Target for cratering under the pressure. It's a tough tough place to be in. But I think for me, Gemma, the bottom line is that state attorneys general, they've got tremendous power to protect us from dangerous products, from unfair business practices, et cetera. And it's concerning to see our AG politicizing his position, using, taxpayer limited resources to threaten entities that don't conform to his personal value judgments.
This might be really simple, but my dad used to always say that the moment you allow something that you don't that you don't agree with to go through, at some point you'll be next, right? And in a way, I wonder if that argument could be made in this regard, right? That it's like, okay, well, if Target does cave, which in some would say that they did by moving their displays to the back of their store, that what is next, right? If they cave to this letter, then what will come next? I mean, will we all at some point be told, well, you can only wear, a white shirt and khaki pants? I mean, where does that line stop, I guess?
Right, or anything that disparages Protestant Christian religion is prohibited. I obviously we're not there yet, and we should say, in fairness, that Target stated that the reason that they put the display to the back of the store, et cetera, was because of fear for the safety of their employees. And I would encourage your viewers, if you have time, just it's really easy, a YouTube search, and you can see a lot of the very confrontational, aggressive behavior by folks who walk into Target and are yelling at employees for selling gay pride merchandise.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in today and talking more in depth about this. Again, I want our listeners to know we did reach out to the Attorney General's office. We invited them on the program. They declined, saying that they had nothing more to say in regards to that letter. So we did have McKay Cunningham, professor and attorney, as well as the director of a non-campus experiential learning at the College of Idaho, join us to talk about this more. McKay, really appreciate your perspective.
Yes, thanks so much, Jim. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast only from NPR.